needed something more exciting. A Jetlag the Game RPF podfic, written by Calibang and read to you by Fens and Marshes. After a 2-year war of attrition, Adam had basically given up arguing that they shouldn't conduct sex planning in the work Slack. It really was the most convenient place to do it. In the group chat, relevant links just got buried under Ben and Adam's daily correspondence, plus whatever wildly outdated memes Sam had decided to incorporate permanently into his lexicon. And Ben sent a lot of relevant links. Links that were goated with the source, as it were. He hit send on his most recent, Studio Friction, a progressive rope studio in Denver. "Why is this in Denver?" Adam called from the living room, where he was in the middle of arranging filming permissions at various European heritage sites. It was one of the more tedious parts of the job, and unfortunately, Adam was forced to handle most of it because his sheepish yet insistent good boy demeanor somehow struck a perfect chord with the ranks of gatekeeping women worldwide, even via email. He was 40% better at this task than either Ben or Sam, which they knew because they'd crunched the numbers. There was probably even some further analysis to be conducted about whether he truly had better success with women, or whether women were just statistically more likely to be gate agents and public relations professionals, but they hadn't yet gotten around to it. "You and Sam can take the class, and I can hire a beefy man to come install suspension hardware in the ceiling of Sam's condo," Ben called back. He was googling handyman in the greater Grand Junction, Colorado area and sorting by bicep circumference. This wasn't a preset option, but he was persevering. Was it problematic to use such a gendered term for the profession? He tried handy people, but the results were not nearly as promising. "We can't do it here, we rent." There was a several-minute-long period of silence, punctuated only by the sound of Adam clicking around on his ergonomic mouse. Then Adam came to stand in the door of the bedroom. His hands were on his hips, like a beleaguered mother. "It's a 4-hour drive from Sam's house to Denver," Adam said. Ben had put in many hours of observation as to what the various pitches of Adam's voice indicated about his emotional state. Currently, he sounded strained and put upon, and not in a fun way. "I need to take, 20 classes to do this safely, and Sam might not even like it. We'd be in a class with strangers. And I think it could hurt his knee." Ben took the opportunity for a reflective pause. Sometimes he got flack from Adam and Sam and hordes of backseat game designers on Reddit for operating too heavily on vibes, which he mostly considered fair, although he liked to think that the vibes were bolstered by a deep intuition about the two people with whom he shared a beautiful and unique relationship that was completely unexplainable to any of their parents. Frequently, the vibes worked out effortlessly in his favor, which only emboldened him. Setbacks he considered a natural part of growing as a person in the world, learning about oneself and one's partners, etc., etc. All this to say, he maintained the belief that everyone would have fun doing insane suspension shibari to Sam, but he was also gamely willing to admit he'd perhaps underestimated the logistical burdens the endeavor would have for Adam specifically. In any case, Ben was nothing if not flexible. "What about a sex swing?" Adam's pose turned thoughtful, contrapposto. "I'd be open to that." They mostly did not ever go to see Sam in Colorado, partially because Sam valued his space, and significantly because Ben had given Colorado a good college try and found it vastly inferior to New York on every conceivable metric. New York, after all, had 24/7 subway service and omakase and 10 dozen distinct micro-communities of underemployed literary comedians. Ben's people. Regardless of this, it was still necessary to install hardware in Sam's ceiling, even for just a sex swing, and Sam would kill Ben in real life if he made Sam talk to a contractor about this. The handyman had fairly average biceps, but still did a really good job putting a big hook in Sam's ceiling. Afterwards, they all stood in a little circle, looking up at it. "It doesn't even look like a sex thing," Ben said. "You could hang a plant from there when we're not using it, and no one would know." "Well," Adam said, conveying via tone that it was unlikely that Sam would be interested in keeping a plant alive. "Or maybe like a cool Noguchi," Ben said, in compromise. No one comes to my house, Sam said. It can just be a hook in the ceiling. Setting up the swing required a stepladder, which Sam did not own, so they had to drive 25 minutes to a hardware store to buy one. Besides the fetch quest, setting it up was easy, though the swing itself looked kind of hard to climb into. Probably that would also require the stepladder. They launched into a protracted conversation about what height the strap should be at, when it became clear from Sam's expression that they had apparently neglected to communicate some critical information about this plan via the work Slack. I thought the sex swing was for Ben, Sam said. His eyebrows were really high. Sam mostly only made expressions on purpose, so either he was extraordinarily surprised and this was happening involuntarily, or he was a normal level of surprise but really wanted them to know it. No, this is a compromise because we can't do suspension shibari to you anymore, Ben said. And why can't you do suspension shibari to me? Sam said. Wait, any more? Health and safety, Ben said. Also, it's really hard, and it's too many classes. What's the worst that could happen? Sam said. Ben couldn't tell if he was truly interested in being suspension shibari'd, or if he was just trying to rile Adam up. I accidentally break your spine and go to prison for manslaughter, and then Ben has zero boyfriends because you're dead and I'm in prison, Adam said. We aren't boyfriends, Sam said. But I take your point. It's like a production veto. Adam's expression went pinched. We're kind of boyfriends, he said. He didn't comment on production veto, although it was yet another stop on the road of the enmeshment of their sex lives with their established professional lexicon. At this rate, they were like 5 weeks away from adding sex curses to the hide-and-seek card deck. In any case, ambiguity on the boyfriend front was not going to be a fruitful line of discussion, and all three of them knew it. Luckily, Adam was able to divert himself. Okay, actually, I digress. I am willing to explore the idea of putting Ben in the sex swing. Describe your vision of Ben in the sex swing. They could have been pitching jet lag concepts. Sometimes Ben kind of hated them, but not more than he loved them, so he figured it was fine. Sam said, we both get to fuck him while he's in the sex swing, and we keep going even if he comes. Do I get a say about the sex swing? Ben said. Actually, he was feeling more charitably towards them, suddenly. Upon reflection, I want to go in it. It was about as difficult to climb into the sex swing as Ben thought, and it was especially undignified to do so naked. Fortunately, he'd done many physically embarrassing things in front of Sam, Adam, and hundreds of thousands of people across the internet, so it didn't bother him too much. Unfortunately, it turned out the sex swing was kind of a hassle. Ben had thought it would be fun to just chill and be manhandled and get fucked twice, but possibly the straps did actually need more calibration, because it ended up requiring overall more core and, weirdly, neck strength than he would have preferred. In the end, it was so finicky that Adam had to help him tip himself out of it so they could retreat to the guest room, where Sam resumed nailing him into the mattress. That was more like it, Ben felt. Sam was on top of him, chest to chest. He wasn't actually putting all his weight onto Ben, but he still felt heavy, close. Being caged in by the strong lines of Sam's body made everything feel overhot and urgent, flush spreading steadily down Sam's neck, his warm, panting breath against Ben's throat. Boxed in as Sam fucked into him, hard, Ben tried to arch into it but was held down by the iron grip Sam had on his hip. Getting nowhere, Ben scrabbled at Sam's shoulders, feeling it all over as Sam's rhythm went stuttered and rushed, and he came inside him with a long, low groan. Now Sam was putting his full body weight on Ben's body, not unwelcome, but also not doing anything to address the aching arousal coursing through him. He tried to move again, grinding up against Sam's abs, but Sam was about 200 pounds of sated dead weight, and also his hair was in Ben's mouth. Ben whined plaintively. Sam raised himself off Ben and, almost speculatively, kissed him on the mouth, once but long. It was a very nice surprise, which did not at all alleviate Ben's desperation, but sufficiently distracted him from Sam shifting off of him, and from Adam taking his place, lining up, and sliding home. Ben gasped and watched, nearly agonized, as Sam sat back, shot him a genuine smile, and reached for his dick. Sam's hands. Adam's dick. What was Ben supposed to do except come? Afterwards, it was a lot. Adam still moving inside him, fucking him through the aftershocks and then beyond, raw feeling zinging up Ben's spine as he writhed from the sheer oversensation. Mercifully, Sam had stopped touching his dick. As Adam kept going, the experience fractured into a series of jumbled impressions, his own body coiling tighter and tighter, like a spring being wound up, Adam's hands gentle on his hips, even as he insistently pulled Ben back onto his dick. Sam bent over, watching Ben's face so intently that Ben had to squeeze his eyes shut. By the time Adam came, Ben had one shaking hand over his own eyes, the other clutching with a true death grip on whatever part of Sam that had been closest. It turned out to be his forearm. Ben could feel the little knotted texture of his string bracelets digging into the meat of his palm. When, at last, Adam came, Ben's shoulders were around his ears. He took in a deep, frantic inhale and learned he'd been holding his breath. Adam pulled out, no doubt getting lube and cum all over the sheets of Sam's guest bed, which is why he always insisted that they fuck in the guest bed. For a moment, Ben was unable to unlock a single muscle, still bracing himself against the onslaught of overstimulation. Then, Adam gave him a gentle squeeze on the ankle, and the tension ran out of him like water. "Oh my God," Ben said. That his voice was hoarse indicated he'd been making noise, though he couldn't remember doing so. His breathing was still kind of shaky. He felt incredible. "Oh my God. Oh my God," Adam said, in agreement. They did not immediately jet out of Colorado because they weren't just using Sam for sex and stable employment in the field of online content creation, no matter what he liked to pretend. The next morning, Ben made everyone waffles. For some reason, Sam owned a fairly nice waffle iron, even though he didn't have other vital things like a stepladder or a single piece of art on his walls. Afterwards, Adam and Sam went on a run that was supposed to be short and was not. This didn't worry Ben unduly because it happened literally every time they went on a run together, and also because he could see that Sam had read his "You guys alive?" text even though he hadn't responded. In Sam's defense, it had been a mostly rhetorical question. Actually, the turning on of Sam's red receipts had been a whole thing, almost on par with the implementation of the 45-second rule. The problem was that Sam maintained dozens of unread text messages and, even upon reading them, frequently neglected to respond to them unless they contained an explicit and time-sensitive question. And even that wasn't a guarantee. It drove Adam basically categorically insane. "I would be happy with a K," Adam had said to Ben one night, after Sam had impressively ignored 19 of Adam's messages in a row, if you counted group chats, which Adam apparently did. The pillow talk in the Doyle Chase third floor Brooklyn walk-up left something to be desired, in Ben's opinion. Then again, they got a lot of strategizing done between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m, and at this point, strategy was a load-bearing component of the relationship. "I would be happy with a thumbs-up emoji reaction. How do we know he hasn't been, like, killed by pumas? They have those in Colorado." This was the kind of insane thing Adam worried about, on top of all the more reasonable things he worried about. Probably he should be on fluoxetine, but Sam and Ben were waiting for a good time to bring that up. "Statistically unlikely," Ben had said. "If I promise to talk to him about it, will you be able to go to sleep?" He really had been very tired. He hadn't yet found the time to go to Warby Parker for fun new glasses to match his fun new jumpsuits, and all the editing on the old prescription was giving him eye strain. He hadn't expressed this to Adam or Sam, because then they would make him take sick leave to go get an eye exam, instead of just letting him put it off for several more weeks while he saved Instagram posts of hot-looking people in cool outfits and glasses, of which there were many. A great thing about New York City was all the outfits, which at some point basically were just costumes that you could wear to work. If he had one regret about his relationship with Sam and Adam, it was that presumably any other duo of ambiguously queer people would have a more interesting sense of style, and then maybe they could share clothes. but Ben was willing to overlook that based on their other merits. "I'll try," Adam had said with a tone. Ben had kissed him on the nose to make him soften slightly. In many ways, Adam was a sucker. "If you can't go to sleep," Ben had said, "just shut the fuck up about it, okay?" "I love you too, buddy," Adam had said, dryly, and got up to turn off the lights. In the end, Ben had texted Sam separately and explained that Adam got wigged out if he didn't know they were okay, and sent texts as a comfort mechanism by which to ensure they were okay, and would Sam mind turning on red receipts just for Adam, so Adam would know that he hadn't been killed by pumas. And Sam had sent the emoji of the man in a little business suit levitating over a hole, but turned them on for Ben and Adam both, which pretty much solved the problem. It was a shame that Sam's red receipts being on was actually currently confirming for Ben that Sam and Adam hadn't been killed by pumas on their somehow many-hour run, because that meant it wouldn't be nearly as helpful a data point in the forthcoming fluoxetine conversation. Alas. By the time Sam and Adam staggered back in, Ben had had time to watch several YouTube tutorials about how to best set up and enjoy a sex swing, and had even implemented some apparently pivotal adjustments to the strap situation. He was reasonably sure they could now stick Sam in there to great effect. Perhaps not all of his ideas could be winners, but he wasn't willing to give up just yet. Not when they still had the power of iteration. Author's notes. Sometimes a fic can be about three people not doing suspension shibari, and that's valid. The end. Thank you for listening. This was Needed Something More Exciting by Calibang.